Good evening.
I believe you're the first.
Yay.
You feeling better, Brandy?
Well, no, not really. But I'm going to get better.
This is true.
Yeah, I was having trouble with, I have asthma.
I know.
And it was hard today. I was having difficulty different times, but I took my medicine and said a few prayers and just kept going.
That's all you can ever do.
Oh, yeah.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we will begin with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, Kud Shabarichu, Ishkin Tevit, Kilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu. Le'achta, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, Be'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Le'mud Torah, Tva. So mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohino aleinu maasei yadeinu kanunei aleinu maasei yadeinu kanuneihu. We will be studying tonight section 24 from the Qumran commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera, Pasuk 332. Daita deit kasya, vedaita deit galya, deor deit galya, ihu call of ado, deit galya milkom, deit kasya, ihu call of ado, deit kasya meilen. Erein its parshan, dinin zagin, liznaihu, usaharan yamaraba, ukali lane sitre mistaavu, ukohad lehad shah, leduktea. The translation. One is a hidden advice, the other is an open advice. And he explained that Peor is revealed in all of its actions. Its deeds are performed in the open. Milcom, in contrast, is hidden, and all its actions, its deeds, are secretive. These kinds of unholy elements were separated and went forth, surrounding the great sea, which is the Nukva. And each and every aspect of impurity turns towards its place. My commentary? This pasuk is clear as written. What is the place of impurity? Remember the Hebrew word makom, which is place, is a name or an attribute of Hashem. Is this referring to makom? Questions, comments, thoughts?
Has joined.
Good evening. We're studying verse 332 in section 24 of Vayera. And we just 332.
Okay, thank you.
And we'll be waiting for someone to comment about it or to ask questions.
Okay. I'll be reading.
Understood.
Well, It seems that 332 is talking about something that was discussed in 331, which was my comb, and the other is Peor. And it was talking about the primordial serpent that penetrates the fruit of the tree, and that out of that you have two grades that are interrelated and surround the sides of unholiness. Okay, so then down here in 332, it's still talking about Peor and Malcolm, and it's still dealing with unholiness and the nukvah and going towards it. Once it's around the nukvah, then it turns toward whatever place it, I guess whatever place it was assigned, whether it was holy or unholy.
I have to mute. I'm sorry.
You have to remember that Milcom and Peor are idols.
Okay.
So idols have a place. With that hint, if something is impure and it's going to be concealed, or it needs to be concealed in order to do its work as something that is impure, it's going to turn towards Milcom. It's going to move towards its place of Milcom. And if what that negative aspect then is going to do its work in a revealed manner, it's going to turn towards its place, which is Peor. And the verse is explaining to us, Milcom is concealed and Peor is revealed.
So if these are idols, I want to get this straight. Are these physical, like physically shaped things that you can see? Or are they metaphysical, dealing with positives and negatives?
Everything in the Zohar is metaphysical. But it uses the language of branches, which is terms that have a physical meaning to human beings. But that physical meaning is not the physical meaning that everybody understands. It's a metaphysical understanding. Essentially, it is the root or the seed of what is the physical concept of that word. Does that make sense to you? Is that helpful to you?
It makes sense, and it's helpful to an extent, but I'm still trying to deal with Milcom and Peor.
And what if you put the word Baal in front of it? Would it help you? Because we've even talked about that before at one of our lessons.
Those are physical, idol-shaped people, things, people, whether they look like animals or people. Or it's a physical little clay, wooden-type structure. So that's a physical thing, but it has a metaphysical energy to it, which is negative. So evidently,
right.
one of them you could see, one of them you can see, and one of them you can't see.
Well, Randy, let me give you a little bit of an understanding of problems that human beings have in dealing with these concepts. And I'm using a metaphor, but it will sound like something physical.
Okay.
But it's really a metaphor. When we were children, and almost all of our children as children, thought and were taught that an idol is something you bow down to. It's something you can see. It's something that you can kneel before. Chas v'shalom. We all absorb that information as children, because children don't have the capacity to imagine something that's not seen. But today, we can make the statement, meaning today as we've aged, we can make the statement that some people are addicted to joy. Some people are addicted to money. Some people are addicted to power. Let's put it as power. Is power observable? Or is it concealed? Most people, after thinking about it, would say power is concealed. But now we will say, can somebody be using power as a idol? Can someone pray to power?
Yes.
Is that power another human being or something metaphysical?
Well, it's metaphysical. But
we observe that today in the news.
Oh, very much so.
This is the issue. The Torah, in the form of the Zohar and this particular verse, comes and says that metaphysical concept of power is concealed. That people will pray to that. And when that people pray to a concealed power, it can be holy or it can be unholy. Who does someone pray to? If it's an unholy power, it's also got a connection to this word, Malkom, Milkom. It has a connection to this word, Milkom. But Milkom is not a word only. It is an essence of metaphysics. That's what this verse is coming to teach us. In the spiritual world, if something, there's only pure essences. So you do not have a power that is concealed. They're two different things. The power is in its own corner, its own place, and the energy of concealment is in a different place. It's only in the physical world that we can put the two together and say this power is concealed. And it becomes two things, but those two things are one. This is what this verse comes to teach us. Is that helpful to you?
It's helpful. It's like one thing has two sides, but it's still just one thing.
Correct. But in the spiritual world, that one thing does not have two sides. That one thing is just totally the meaning of that one thing. There's not two sides to it. There's not a north side and a south side. There's just the thing. And that thing has a location, a place that it is with, living with, that it is resting in the spiritual worlds.
That makes sense. So degrees of negativity and evil, they all have a section, they all have a place. And depending on how negative they are and how evil they are as to what place that they're at.
Correct.
Same thing with positiveness and goodness. It all
Correct.
Has a place.
Correct. And well, the two places are not the same. And they can never come together.
But are they opposite at each other to equalize it out? Like bad?
We're not saying where those places exist.
Oh.
We're saying
okay.
They do exist. And they cannot be put together.
Okay.
Which is where the phrase opposites repel comes from.
Okay.
But we're not saying that they repel. We're saying they can never be joined. Because they go to their place.
It's kind of like everybody has their own cubbyhole.
Correct. Every energy has its own cubbyhole. Every energy has its own place. And that is why the word, the Hebrew word makom, meaning place, is the name of God. Because everything is part of God. Everything has its own place.
Okay, and so is makom the Aramaic for makom that we normally think of as the word for place?
I don't know.
Okay.
But there is an Aramaic dictionary in the dialect that's used in the Talmud called I forget the name of the dictionary, but there is an Aramaic dictionary that you can purchase.
Okay.
And get the answer to that. And I've just purchased, but it has not yet arrived, a digital form of that where I can look it up. And so if you'll remind me later on when it arrives, I will take a look at that. What I had said last time we studied the previous verse, that I had never heard the word milkom as an idol, but peor I understood, because we have the Torah speaks of the idol Peor that the Moabites used to seduce the Israelite men.
Right.
And that was kind of going to be my statement. I wondered, okay, they have a place, but they have a place in every generation. And because pure has to do with sexuality, and this is Shogafim, it's not surprising that it's here. But
correct.
In every generation, yes, it's concealed as to where it originated, but it's very revealed in every generation, and especially in this one.
Well said.
Okay.
But let me bring it into a different idea.
Okay.
The action of the idol Peor was a stick that you faced away from, you defecated, and that was your offering to the idol Peor. Now, is that revealed or concealed? Do you go to the bathroom in a revealed manner or a concealed manner?
Concealed.
But Peor is revealed. How do you reconcile that? The negative aspect was Peor was teaching, do this in public when it should be concealed.
Well, that is definitely happening today.
No question.
And why we don't bring a prayer book into a bathroom.
Exactly.
Or say a blessing.
But you say the blessing when you come outside.
Right.
Which means you say the blessing in a revealed place. And yet, if you observe people who are frum, meaning religious from birth, I don't want to use it's the, not religious from birth, but the word frum means from birth, meaning they were born into a family, an observing family. So they're taught to wash hands from babies because their mothers wash their hands. And they do it, as soon as they can do it, they're doing it on their own. So the whole idea of if you observe them, they say the blessing after exiting the bathroom, but they don't say it in public. They don't say it so that you can hear them say it. It's like the only blessing that you don't announce to the world, giving the other people an opportunity to say amen.
Oh, that's good to know. Of course, I'm always by myself at that time in the morning, so nobody's around anyway. But
it's exactly. And see, I've been in conflict over that. I not understood it. And I didn't feel comfortable enough to even ask the rabbis that I would see turn their back, turn away from me when they said the blessing. I could see their mouths start to move, so I knew what they were doing. But I don't know why they didn't give me the chance to say amen. And yet this is what I have observed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what is correct, Hannah. I really don't.
Well, now that I think about it, you know, every time I say a food blessing over a food or water, you know, and I'm by myself, I picture the angels saying amen to my blessing. But I never have done that with a bathroom player. I didn't think to do it. You know, it doesn't come to my thought. Maybe because you have to sleep when you get, you know, you first get up. And
no.
Then you go back to the
stage.
But I just
the bathroom during the day when you're not half asleep. The reason you don't do it is because you inherently know that going to the bathroom should be in a concealed manner. Mm-hmm. And the blessing that's attributed to that, what are you doing with that blessing? Is you're drawing light to the empty spaces in your body that were created by the secretion that came out of your body. That left an empty space. And you, there is no such thing as an empty space metaphysically. So you draw light to that empty space in your body so that it doesn't get filled with the satan.
But the thought comes to me often while I'm in the bathroom of how thankful because of the prayer, you know, and I've pondered before thinking, is Hashem really upset, you know, because that's such a wonderful, you know, it's a bodily process. And if it's stopped up or overflowing, you know, you're very uncomfortable. So I've had positive thoughts, but I never said anything out loud, you know.
No, I understand. And it is a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when my daughter had 22 inches of her intestines removed when she was just 12 years old. And the idea, the doctor told us that when she began to expel gas, that meant her intestines were working. And I'm telling you, we were so happy when that happened. And I often think of little things like that, you know, that I know the negative kind of connotation that we have when we go to the bathroom, but at the same time, you can't help but be thankful that it's working right. And I don't know, maybe I'm, but that comes to me. To my thoughts often, you know.
So let me ask a question now to really confuse the issue, because I'm confused. If you pass gas in public, what are you apologizing for?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever apologized for anything like that.
Maybe for the negative metaphysical essences that are now around you.
Well, it's certainly opposite the smell of the incenses. So, although that, you know, one of them does have a bad smell. So. It's just part of being human, you know.
And why do people laugh so much about that?
Why do they make whoopee cushions, Brandy?
Well, that's the most laughable thing.
That's only the American humor. If you lived in France, you wouldn't be laughing about it. It's a swear word. In America, our swear words are against God. In France, the swear words are human actions. Sex, defecation, urination. That's the way they... It's a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we are out of time. So you all have a good evening, and we'll hopefully have questions and answers today.
Well, needless to say, it was an interesting discussion.
Shalom.
Okay. Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.